Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to tell you along with the legendary Herb Tyler.
That's one more
dollar. So that's $2 for me. I get on there. We at 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got some great food and drink specials here at Acme. Got a great crowd right before LSU plays South Alabama. Herb and I will be on till 4:45, and then we throw it to the LSU radio network. And then at 6:45 kickoff time, you can hear Jacob Hester and Chris Blair give you everything going on the field between the LSU Tigers and South Alabama. Kind of recapping things already. Notre Dame 21-7 over Louisville. So, man, they remember what happened last year.
That's right.
And so, man, the Irish have jumped all over Louisville 21-7 in a stunner in Oxville, Kentucky. 20-17 over Ole Miss. Ole Miss missed a field goal late that could have tied it and brought it into overtime. Missed the field goal. First loss of the season for Ole Miss. And so thoughts that maybe these two teams before the season maybe could be undefeated when they played. LSU's went right out the window in week one. Ole Miss, it happened. And you got to give Kentucky credit. They outplayed them in this football game, and man, it huge win for the Wildcat program. Also, two congratulations to John Sumrall and Tulane Greenway, 45-10 over South Florida. And we talked about this in the first hour. They were toe to toe with LSU. With Alabama at the end of three quarters, and then Alabama scored 28 points. Fourth quarter to pull away. South Alabama, I think they have more seniors on that team than any other team in Division I college football.
Wow.
And so give it to them. In the first half, it was a dominating performance by the Tulane offense. Basically every time they had the football, they scored. And their defense really held up well. Herb, we talked a little bit about this in this game, but didn't talk about the fact that Major Applewhite, who grew up in Baton Rouge, has an opportunity now to coach in Tiger Stadium and with his South Alabama team that has been explosive on the offensive side of the football.
Yep.
I don't know that they have the weapons on defense to slow down LSU the way they have moved the football all season long. But, they showed they can put some points up on the board. And LSU's it's almost been the one consistent thing on defense. Man, they've given up one big chunk play after another in every game.
Whether it's a run or pass.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. But lately it's been more the pass. I thought their run defense has gotten a bit better over the past few weeks.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because South Carolina ran the ball really well on them with some chunk plays.
They hit some chunk plays in there. But I think with that was almost missed tackles. You had a guy in position.
Yeah.
You got to make play.
A couple times.
Come on. You got to make that play.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, look, with Major Applewhite coming back to, Baton Rouge, being a hometown guy, it's always exciting for people who go away and they come back, especially when they never.
And it almost happened. You almost went to Mississippi State. It would have been special.
That's right.
If you were the quarterback at Mississippi State, no matter you weren't from Baton Rouge, you would with O'Perry Walker.
Yeah,
But still, it didn't make any difference. Man, you grew up, you watching LSU.
Always.
People say, y'all make too big of a thing of it. No. And if you're from Louisiana,
you want to go to LSU.
Come on.
That's the flagship school, and that's where you want to go. And he had the talent to go there, too, is the thing about it. They didn't offer him or give him the opportunity to go there. But he did go to another premier school in Texas. He played very well there. After his football playing days, he ended up becoming a coach pretty much any and everywhere where he could go. But one of the places and stops that he went that I thought he was very impressive at was the University of Houston. He did a very good job there when he was the OC there, and he took over as a head coach, and he did okay. And everywhere he goes, I'm going to say this, they're going to be disciplined. They're going to play fast, passionate football. They're going to throw the ball all over the park. They're going to run the ball all over the park. They're going to be very versatile. And I think he's – I think his values and his, I guess, his players or types of players he looked for are really athletic players that can move. No one that can stay still. Now, they're not going to come in and wow you with their size or anything like that, but they're going to be athletic and they're going to be really passionate about what they're doing and they're going to fly around the ball field. But coming back to LSU and Tiger Stadium for him is a dream come true, especially as a even as a head coach of any football team. And I think right now he's got a little football team that I think that can really take LSU to kind of do what USF did to Alabama, was bring them through the third quarter and then hope that LSU can you know, pull it off in the fourth. Now, this goes back to what I was saying when Jeff was on as well. We want to see LSU put four quarters together. Well, if they put the first quarter and the fourth quarter together and they end up winning by 30 points, does it matter if they put all four together and win by 30 points? Does it really matter at the end of the day? Right. So for me, it's just the consistency. I think right now they're averaging 32 points a game. If they can consistently average 32 points a game, I think we'll be fine.
One of the things, too, over the last couple of weeks, and we talked about Aaron Anderson's emergence in this offense, but also, too, Caden Durham. And what he has meant to this team over the last couple of weeks. And, okay, I get it, the pass protection part, because he really has never been asked to do that.
No.
Okay, when you're in high school, you're not asked to be a pass protector. You're asked to run the football or catch it coming out of the backfield. Yep. But now it's a different world. You trust Josh that he can do that.
Yep.
Josh is really good in the pass protection part. I think Caleb has improved. Is he as good as Josh? No, but he's improved in that area because Caleb, he was like Durham. Yeah, they didn't ask me to do that.
No.
And so you got to learn how to block and to pick up the blitz at a certain time. But he brings that element of speed and ability to make people miss in space. And, okay, he caught that little flare pass.
That was nice.
You saw the Bruins. They had two guys that had an angle. Well, he outran the angle to get into the end zone.
So that's exciting, too, because we hadn't seen that in a while as well from a running back. Just some quickness, some quick twitch muscles, if you will, with his hips, and then sheer speed. And what's also exciting, we all know, the first couple of games of this season, where's the run game? Where's the run game? Well, guess what? Durham is the run game now. Now, that being said, you know, Williams is actually the leading rusher on this team with 134 yards rushing, two touchdowns, and 36 carries. And so, but when you do the 1-2 punch with those two guys, I think it'll be great. And then you sprinkle in a little Caleb Jackson, I think will be even better. But with the emergence of Durham, only thing he can do is get better from here on out. I think his power, his stamina, and the way that he sees the field, his ability to be able to bounce the ball at outside and then get the edge and actually outrun people is pretty cool. And you know, the one thing he hadn't done yet is fumble the football. And if you don't fumble the football, hold on to it.
You go get a chance to play, because I had that conversation with John Emery before he got hurt. At a couple of different places in the summer, and just make sure you hold on to the ball, John. Because he assured me, Mike, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be ready. But when the season starts, I was like, just don't fumble it. You'll be watching. You won't be playing. And he gave me the grin, and he knew what I knew. Because, man, Coach Owen all was on him when he was there about it, and I'm sure Brian Kelly was the exact same way about John had talent.
Yes.
Tremendous talent. He's been so unlucky with injuries and then everything else that happened. But I think with Caden, what you bring up is a good point that, you know, you could see he pays a lot of attention to ball security.
That's right.
Especially in heavy traffic.
Yep. You know, we'll go back to John real quickly. You know, we were talking about we don't have a run game. We hadn't had a run game the first two games of the season. But actually, John was actually the run game. He was playing phenomenal in that first game against USC before, you know, tearing his ACL or whatnot. And I think had he not been injured, I think the run game would look a little bit different. You'll have two older guys in Williams and Emery who know the game, who understands everything, and that allows, you know, Jackson and Durham to kind of watch behind those guys but still get their carries and their play. But now with Emery out, it forces one of those guys to have to step up. And then, you know, and Durham is the guy stepping up. Ball security, the way that he sees the field, his vision, his footwork and his ability to be quick at the same time as fast and also powerful allows for him to be a really great running back, in my opinion, in the future. He's really good now, but he's still got a ways to go to be great, and I think he's only going to get better game in and game out this year.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about, we see, you know, when you lose a Malik Nabers and you lose a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., it's difficult to replicate the production those guys could do. So you got to spread it around a little bit.
Yeah.
And Kyren certainly has stepped up to be the number one receiver. Aaron Anderson has done a very good job as the number two guy. Hopefully we'll get a glimpse this week of Chris Hilton as they try to bring him back. One guy's really emerged. Mason Taylor. At tight end.
Yes.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWE.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Come on by and visit us. Jason will take real good care of you. And they got a great crew here that works it here at Acme. Had tremendous food and drink specials. 16 TVs surrounded you as you eat so you can watch all the games. And so if you're going to the game or if you don't have a ticket and you want to watch the game, LSU, South Alabama, you can right here. And we'll have that game starting at 6:45 tonight, where it'll be Chris Blair and Jacob Hester will be giving you the call. LSU, South Alabama, right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond.
Yep.
We brought this up before, Herb, in the emergence of Mason Taylor at tight end.
Yeah.
And I remember when they were recruiting him and Coach O telling me, Mike, I got one from Florida. He got some good genetics. It's Jason's boy. I was like, okay. I said, can he play? Oh, yeah. He's going to be really good. He said, but, man, he's a tall drink of raw water right now. He needs to add a little bit of weight, a little bit of muscle. But, man, can he catch the football? Boy, Coach O was right about him. He didn't get a chance to coach him. But Mason Taylor this year, you can see his progress as a route runner, finding a way to get open.
Yep.
And he's the security blanket for Garrett Nussmeier. You being a former quarterback, Talk a little bit about having that guy you know and trust where he's going to be out on the field.
Well, some numbers for you. Mason Taylor, 25 receptions, 237 yards, 9.5 average per reception, 33 is his long, and one touchdown. So if you think of those numbers, you're like, man, those numbers are really great until you get to touchdowns. He's only got one touchdown. Well, in that, he's got first down after first down after first down after first down, which is keeping the offense on the field, and that's important. So when we talk about tight ends, and Coach O was right, it's one tall drink of water, and when you add the length of his arms stretched up or outstretched above him, that makes him even taller. So one of the things that I really love as a quarterback, and I know Garrett is really loving this, is the fact that every last one of his tight ends are 6'6", 6'7". And then, you know, they raise their arms up, that's another 3 feet. So they're basically 9 foot, and if they drunk three more feet, they're 12 feet. So he can put the ball anywhere he wants to in the 12-foot vicinity of them, and I think they can go get it, especially Mason Taylor. One of the things I really have liked about him is his toughness that he's grown to have over the course of the last three years.
I agree.
He's gotten more tough every game and game out, and it's just evident to me when he catches the football and gets hit and he gets right back up. And I appreciate that from a tight end, because when you think of tight ends, you think of blockers, you think of guys who catch the ball in traffic, get hit, get up, really tough-nosed players. But now tight ends are not that. They're flanked out. They're asked to do what wide receivers do. And he's playing just as good a tight end ball as anybody in the country is right now. And one of the things that Brian Kelly has always hung his hat on since he's been coaching is good tight ends, and I appreciate the fact that they're starting to develop Mason Taylor here.
Also, the two other young tight ends, I think everybody wants to see it. If they become a bigger part of this offense as the season goes along with Kay Pimpton,
yep.
along with Tre'Davious Green.
Yep.
Okay, both those guys are even taller than Mason Taylor.
Yep.
Mason's 6'5" and some change, but Tre'Davious, what, 6'7.5"?
Yeah.
And Kay, you know, he's almost 6'7". So, man, yeah. you got guys. And I think it's so important, short yardage, red zone area, to have that sort of length that it doesn't. The ball doesn't have to be perfect.
No, nope.
And they'll come up with it. And I, all I know is ain't no 6'6", 6'7" defensive backs or linebackers.
No,
trying to cover them. No, so
not at all.
That's a huge mismatch downfield.
That's huge. The problem with trying to incorporate those guys into the game plan is you still got Aaron Anderson, Kyron Lacy. You got. Daniels, you've got Xavier Thomas, you've got Kyle Parker. I mean, you got cats that can play all over the field, and it's going to be tough, but you have to purposefully put those guys in positions when it's time. I think where you use them at is where we've struggled, which is in the red zone.
I agree.
And so if we're not going to utilize Nussmeier as a threat to run the football, then we need to utilize those tight ends as a threat to catch the ball to at least get first downs or even touchdowns when they're 5 yards or less. So, it's funny that we can see that. I'm hoping that the coaches can get some kind of development or game plan that's going to see that.
Is it a trust factor, though, with the young guys?
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I'd rather try to see if they can do it versus not do anything.
Okay.
I mean, at the end of the day.
That's why I'm asking, because sometimes people say, does Joe Sloan trust the young tight ends? Well, I know what Mason Taylor can do, okay? I think I know what Tre'Davious and Pimpton can do out on the field, but I'm not really sure.
It's what I guess, so let's talk about what we're asking them to do. We're not asking them to play quarterback. We're asking them to flanker out and, run 6 yards and kind of fade to the outside, jump up and catch the football. That's it. We're not asking them to.
Because they glorified big wide receivers.
That's right. We're not asking them to do anything that's intricate about whatever. We're asking them to get a 3 yards in first down or 4 yards in a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, we're not doing anything outside the box or anything that they haven't done before. So, and I think those guys are ready, especially Pimpton. I know he's ready at the end of the day. I know he's ready.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm just excited to see if they can incorporate him to the game. Now, we're talking about some young guys that has the ability to become what Mason Taylor has become and is becoming. And the way that we got Mason Taylor there is by feeding him the football. And the only way we're going to get those other guys for us to gain trust in them, if the coaches don't have trust, is by getting them involved in the game plan and trying to get the ball to them and see what they can do. Now, I don't know what's happening at practice, but I can only assume that they're doing well at practice because they're still – You know, they get on the field, they just don't get any balls thrown to them.
And I think that's part of it, too. I think for some coaches, if they see some – but we all been around guys that maybe aren't the greatest practice
players.
Yeah,
how does practice translate to the football?
Put them in
game?
A game, they light up. And we've seen vice versa.
Yeah.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
In essence, a guy that doesn't practice, he can't do squat in a game.
That's right.
and I can't explain why for either case.
Well, here's the thing. There's a reason why they've been offered a scholarship to play football at LSU.
Yeah.
And it's because they was able to show it in the lights. Now, how does high school lights translate to or transition to college lights? I don't know.
It's different.
But I can tell you sometimes some people have and some people don't when it comes just to being able to perform under the lights. But I think these guys can do it. I don't see where these particular guys can't do it. Now, I've seen guys that look the part, man, they walk off the bus and boy, it's like it's about to go down, and it just don't. It's just, you know what I'm saying? They might as well get back on the bus. But I've also seen guys who don't look like anything, and they go out there and tear it up.
Yeah, and it's difficult to explain to people because I know Bob always says, Mike, as when I was in the pros, if I could do it in practice, I had confidence I could do it in the game. But he said, Mike, I know what you mean. They got guys that could do it in practice. You put them in a game, it's almost like they're in the headlights. Like they freeze.
It's weird because it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
There's nothing different. The only thing different is the level that you're playing on. And there's a reason why you're on that level in the first place, because you can do it. You know, it's different. I don't know. I've never, I guess, approached a game, a football game anyway, where I felt like I couldn't perform. Like, there's no league, no level, no anything that I feel like I could not have performed in as a quarterback, as a top, on the top level, top tier level as well. Because it's the same. It's just, and I think what I did was I took the time to learn the game when it was time to learn the game, right? When I'm talking classrooms, practice, outside of being in the facility and just watching games and listening and taking in information and trying to understand things, put myself in a position when I'm watching just a Monday night football game or a Sunday football game or whatever game, and just paying attention to what's going on and visually putting myself in it. But it's just football. It's out routes, it's comebacks, it's digs, it's posts, it's all that. The biggest difference is the speed of the game and when in the power of the guys that you're playing against, the strength. That's it.
When we come back, we'll have our Tiger Scout Notebook brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System. We'll have on with us from ESPN in Alabama, Drew DeArmond, to break down the South Alabama football team, and also Major Applewhite returning to Baton Rouge.
That's right. We'll be
back with that. A lot more here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.